Good afternoon. We're here from Partick Free Church of Scotland, continuing. We're a local congregation. We're a registered Scottish charity. We meet at 2 Thornwood Terrace, just up Dumbarton Road, opposite the police station. Climb up the hill. You'll come to Thornwood Primary School first, and then you'll meet our building there on the crossroads. Come along any Lord's Day, Sunday at 11 a.m. or 6 p.m. And we also meet on a Wednesday evening at 7:30. And we do extend a warm welcome to you. Come along and you'll hear something more from the Bible concerning a person. Because Christianity is all about a person. It's all about that person, the Son of God, who became the Son of Man. In other words, He became a man. God the Son became the God-man. And He did this in order that He would be able to suffer and to die. And He had to suffer and He had to die in order that He might be able to save. We say this with reverence and we say it with respect. If the Son of God had stayed in heaven, He could never save anyone. You see, mankind had sinned, and mankind's representative had to die and to pay the price for man's rebellion. And the Son of God, as God, could never do that if He remained in heaven. And therefore, in the fullness of time, at the time that God had appointed, the Son of God came to this earth. He was conceived in a miraculous manner. We might even say that every conception is in some sense miraculous. But this one was truly miraculous, because He was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Ghost. In other words, He did not have a human father. And this was in order that He might not inherit original sin. The Savior had to be sinless. Now, it's one thing to claim that the Savior was sinless. It's another thing to authenticate it. But if you look at the gospel records, if you look at the gospel records that tell us about the life and the teaching and the preaching of the Lord Jesus, it is clear and it is evident that He lived a sinless life. We have said it before, and we're not ashamed to repeat it, but He is the only person that never had to say sorry. I don't know about you, but I have to say sorry every day. I have to say sorry to my God every day because I have not lived in a way that's proper. And I have to say sorry to my nearest and dearest and to many others. I have to acknowledge that I was wrong. I said things that were wrong. I thought things that were wrong. I did things that were wrong. But the Lord Jesus never had to take back any words. He never said sorry to anyone. His actions all the time were perfect. He said on one occasion, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away." Can you imagine that? What a claim. If you were to say that today, people would think that you're foolish. But the Lord Jesus said that, and how true it is. We are proclaiming His word today, and His word is still true and upright as today as it was 2,000 years ago. And for as long as the world shall remain, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. And therefore, we are asking that you put your faith and your hope upon one who was absolutely sinless and who you can trust. He is worthy of all your trust. And you are asked to put your faith and hope upon this person. And surely you'd realize that if you're asked to put your faith and hope upon this person, you need to know something about this person. That's one of the reasons that we come out this afternoon, that you would not be ignorant about Jesus. And more importantly, that you would not let anyone else make up your mind concerning Christ. Very often, people take their views of the Bible, of the Christian message, and of the Lord Jesus, they take it second hand. They rely upon a journalist in the media, or a friend, or some post on social media. They never truly consider the person and the work and his claims of the Lord Jesus themselves. They rely on other people and other people's opinions. Friends, it's time to think for yourself. It's time to study. It's time to think. It's time for you to consider the claims of Christ, because you can go through your life and you can reject him and you can put him to the back of your mind and you can dispense with the Bible and you can think to yourself and try to delude yourself that God doesn't exist, that God is not real. You can do that for a certain amount of time. You can deny the evidence that's clearly before your eyes when you look at the glory and at the wonder of creation. When you look at creation, even through the most powerful telescope or through the most powerful microscope, you see the handiwork of God. You see order. You see beauty. You see design. You see purpose. And then to say to yourself, there is no God, is the height of foolishness. Nothing can come from nothing. And the very fact that all of us have before us evidence of something, then somebody must have produced this something. And it is not evolution. It is not. It is the handiwork of Almighty God. And therefore, friends, as I said, you can live your life, and it can be a successful life, without Christ, without the Bible, without reference to God. But you know, one day it will all change, because we're all mortal. Someone said this, I'm not the author of it, I don't claim to be, but someone said something like this. Life is short. Death is certain. Sin is the problem. Christ is the cure. Did you hear that? Life is short. Death is sure. Sin is the problem. Christ is the cure. This is really why we come out. Life is very short, is it not? We might live for 70 years, maybe 80, maybe a bit longer today. People are living a bit longer today. Well, Satan will have his day, friend. He will have his day. You know, Satan's on his way to the bottomless pit. Bottomless pit. The Son of God has come and given him a crushing blow, a fatal blow. And he knows where he's going, and he wants to deceive many people and to bring them to the place that he's going to, the lake of fire. And we rejoice. We rejoice that God's greatest enemy and the enemy of mankind, Satan, is doomed. He is doomed. And we fight today against a doomed enemy, an enemy who has the curse of God upon him. And we rejoice that the Lord Jesus Christ has come and he has destroyed the works of the devil. But as I was saying, life is short, is it not? 70 years, 80 years, maybe a bit longer, but eventually, no matter, We might not even get 70 years. How many people have gone to eternity in their 40s, in their 30s, in their 20s? They've gone into eternity. Life is short. And when you compare it to eternity, life is but a blink. It is but a flash. We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. The book of James, James chapter 4, talks about life. It's like a vapor. You've seen a vapor. You'll see a vapor when you go into the coffee shop. There, the water boils. The vapor comes up. It rises up from the spout, and then suddenly it's gone. That's your life. Life is short. Don't think for one moment that life is long, especially when you consider it in comparison to eternity. What is eternity that goes on and goes on and goes on and goes on and never stops, never ends? Life is short. And death is certain. It doesn't matter how long your life is, death is certain. It is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment, the Bible says. It's a very sobering thought for us to consider our own mortality. We may well be fit, young, vigorous. We may well have our strength. We may well be in the peak of manhood or in the peak of womanhood at this moment. But it doesn't last. It doesn't last. Unless the Lord Jesus Christ shall return, we'll all go the way of all the earth. Yes, we shall be gathered to our fathers. Yes, friends, we cannot escape. We have an appointment with death. We cannot change it. You cannot phone up like you can with a doctor's appointment or a hospital appointment and say, the appointment I have is not convenient for me. Can we change it? Oh, yes, we can change it. Well, it doesn't happen like that. Death will come. You had no say when you were brought into this world, and you will have no say when you are taken out of this world. Death is certain. Why is death certain? Because death was never meant to happen. Death is normal, but it's not natural. We were never made to die. You know, at the very beginning, there was no death. Death has only come into this world because of one thing. What is that? It is sin. That's why we die. We die because of the law of sin and death. We are sinners by nature and sinners by practice, and that's why we die. And because we're all sinners, there are no exceptions. You know, that's painted quite a bleak picture, has it not? Life is short. Death is sure. The problem is sin. But friends, here's the hope. Here's the great hope of the Christian gospel. It is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the cure. How can He possibly be the cure? How can one person bring about a cure? How can one person affect the whole of mankind? Well, He does. And He has. And He did. Because He is God's Son. He is the Son of God. He has come to this world. The Son of God became the Son of Man. He became just like us. He took a human nature just like us. He lived a perfect life unlike any of us. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He never sinned in thought. He never sinned in word. He never sinned in deed. And ultimately He went to the cross. Why did He go to the cross? He went there to offer up Himself as a sacrifice, to pay the price for mankind's sin. Mankind had broken God's law, but Jesus had fulfilled God's law. And Jesus paid the penalty for mankind breaking God's law. And because of what Jesus has done, we're able to come out this afternoon and to tell every man, every woman, every boy or every girl that hears that there's hope. There's hope if you will put your faith and your trust upon Jesus Christ, that you will receive Him as your Lord and Savior. And we would give you encouragement today, because the Word of God gives us encouragement to go out and to proclaim this message and to command you in the name of God to come unto Him. What does the Bible say? What does Paul say to the clever people of Athens of his day? God commands all men everywhere to repent. That command is still valid and authenticated today. And here, outside Partick Station, here the command of God goes forth. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because there's going to come a day of judgment. That's why. And this is something you might not hear if you go to a Christian place of worship today, because many so-called Christian churches will not proclaim the gospel, and they will not tell you the truth as it is in Jesus. But we will tell you, friends, because we will give account. We will stand before Him and we'll give account. What have we done with this message? Have we faithfully proclaimed it? I'm not responsible for the actions of people. I cannot save a single soul. I cannot save myself. My hope is founded and rooted and grounded upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have a commission to go forth and to preach that gospel, telling people that God commands all men everywhere to repent, because there's a day coming when He will judge the world. And He will judge the world by that man. Who is that man? That man is the Lord Jesus. And the very fact that Jesus suffered and Jesus died and Jesus was put into a tomb, but on the third day He arose, demonstrates that His work was acceptable. And now, on that great day of judgment, the Savior will be your judge. And that's why we come out, that you might be prepared for that day. Because today is not the day of judgment. Today is the day of grace. Today the Savior is proclaimed to you. Today you are urged to come unto Him. For today is the day of salvation. And you are urged not to harden your hearts. Maybe you've heard this message before. Maybe you're a churchgoer and you've heard this message before and you think you're always going to hear it. Well, one day you'll not. We were talking about death and how certain it is. And most certainly it is certain. But once you die, there is no hope of repentance. The gospel will not be proclaimed to you when you die. And it doesn't matter what kind of eulogy you might get at your funeral. You might have a clergyman who will proclaim a wonderful eulogy concerning you. Or it might be a humanist who might do exactly the same. Oh, here it was a great man. He did wonderful things. Friends, it won't matter. It won't matter what they say. Because when you die, your day of grace is over. There's no gospel. There's no prayer for you. It's between you and God. It's between you and God. And that's why, friends, we come out. We seek to warn you, to tell you, that you might embrace the Lord Jesus, that you might call upon Him. He is willing to receive all that will come to Him. He was willing. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. We want to encourage you, friends, that Jesus will accept you. You must repent and you must believe the gospel, and He will embrace you. And you will know the gift of eternal life. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. We're glad to be out, friends. We're going to take a short break in order that we might recharge our batteries, but we do ask that God would bless to you his word to you this afternoon.